Hello and welcome to Outsources, a weekly KGNU program with content created by and for queer communities in Colorado. I'm your host, Kelly Drumright, and today I'm joined by filmmaker Taylor Newman. Hello, Taylor, and thank you so much for coming on Outsources.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks so much for having me.
So to start us off, will you say a little bit more about yourself, maybe share whatever you think the audience might find relevant, whether that's pronouns or if you're an astrology nerd like me, astrological signs, whatever you think is relevant and that you'd like the audience to know.
Of course. So I go by she, her pronouns. I'm an Aquarius, but I don't actually know anything about astrology.
Just the memes.
Basically. And whatever cute cartoony image pops up on my Instagram feed once in a while. And then my free time is just spent watching movies and I dabble a bit in creative writing. And I have a dog and cat that both require my attention as often as they can get it. And then, as you mentioned, I'm an upcoming filmmaker.
I'm so excited to talk about this aspect of your work. One of my favorite things is to talk to like creators about their work and the cool stuff that they do. Okay, so I'm not going to, when I was thinking of interview questions, I was like, one thing I'm not going to ask a filmmaker is their favorite movie. I feel like that's just a taboo. So,
yeah, that's probably good to avoid. We don't have enough time to go into that breakdown.
Well, it would be too long of a conversation, but I'm sure it would be interesting. So anyway, I'm curious how you got into filmmaking. Did you like have an epiphany one day, or has it been like a winding path? I'm just curious how artists are drawn to their medium.
I like to joke that it was a complete accident.
Happy accident.
Definitely. So I went to university at CU Denver, and it ended up being the only university I applied to for an art degree. I was going to do animation. But my end goal was to eventually go to med school and become a doctor, become a surgeon. And then my first semester, I took an intro to filmmaking course just because I thought it would be fun to do.
Just as like an elective? Like,
yeah, there was a freshman experience program, which I don't think exists anymore, where they combined two classes, only freshmen could be in it. And it was two classes together with the same group of like 15, 20 kids. In an hope to make friends.
Yeah, like a cohort experience. That can be hard to have.
Yeah. And it didn't work out that way. But through this class, I absolutely fell in love with filmmaking. I realized it was the first time in a long time that I was excited to like get up in the morning and go do something. And I gave up my Thanksgiving break to go film and was like super thrilled about that. So I just kind of fell in love and switched majors, and here we are, 6 years later.
You heard the call, and here you are, making your art and putting it out in the world.
Yeah, it's kind of mind-boggling sometimes.
Amazing. So speaking of your work, your filmography is steadily growing, but what I want to hear is about some of your favorite projects. Can you give us maybe the highlights of a few of your favorite things that you've worked on?
Definitely. Picking like favorite projects is a little bit like picking your favorite child, because all of them have a special place in your heart, but there are definitely like standouts that have kind of helped me move along my path. And so the film that set me on audio, like the audio career path, is called Not Pictured. And in 2019, I went to Mumbai, India for 2 weeks for a study abroad program with 15 kids. And we ended up filming a 15-minute LGBT plus short that won a bunch of awards. That film stands out because it is what got me onto the audio branch of my path. And then another film that was really life-changing is called Ma, which started in early 2020, a little bit before that. But in 2020, I was brought on by the professor who I went to India with. Her name is Roma, and she brought me onto this film she was making about her mother, who was living in India and had a dream to go see Niagara Falls. And because of the pandemic, I ended up working remotely with a team that was based in the US, in England, and India to edit the post audio. And the film is currently doing a festival run, which is really successful. The film talks about motherhood, and then because we were filming during the pandemic, it shifted into how the pandemic affected older generations. so really timely film that seems to really be piquing people's interest right now. And then most recently, last year when I was still in university, I made a documentary called Who Are We, which focused on a couple of artists who were creating, we had them create self-portraits to reflect on how their art has shaped them and their community. And that film is actually going to be screening in Wyoming at the Wyoming International Film Festival in July.
Oh my gosh, exciting. It sounds like you've got a lot. You've got things up and coming.
Yes. There's never really an end, which is a good thing, I guess.
Such is a creative, artistic life, right?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so this is a little bit of a tangent, but it kind of fits into like our interests where they kind of cross, our niche interests, you know? So I'm a language teacher, and I have been for a while, and I have just kind of like a polyglot in a weird self-taught / classroom taught kind of way, but I'd like to learn to nerd out about languages with you for a second, and then we can go back to your art and filmmaking. But I just wanted to carve out a little space because I know you're learning German, because the person who initially put us in contact is actually one of your teachers and a friend of mine. So I'm curious when you started learning German, and then also what keeps you learning.
Yeah, so I've actually got a lot of family who are German and live in Germany. So growing up, my dad and my grandparents kind of taught my brothers and I some basic phrases.
Yeah, like what? Like Guten Tag.
Yeah, Guten Tag, Danke schön, bitte. A couple choice words that we probably shouldn't have been taught.
We probably can't say on air either, so we'll leave those for the audience to fill in.
Definitely. but basic, just some like really basic phrases to throw around here and there. And then I didn't actually start putting effort into learning German until my senior year of university, because I only had one class I needed to graduate, and I ended up being that weirdo who was like, well then, I'm gonna take some German culture and German language classes for fun, because why not? Like, 15 credit hours, but it's okay.
This is fine. I feel like this is fine meme.
Yeah, basically, I loved it, and my film professors were like, what are you doing? You didn't need to do this to yourself. But I loved it, and I'm learning to communicate better with my family. And now, post-graduation, I'm still dabbling in German a little bit at the CU Boulder's Alltech Language University.
Sehr gut.
Yeah.
Manchmal fühle ich mich hier falsch wie ein Segelschiff im All. Aber bist du mit mir an Bord, bin ich gerne durchgeknallt. Selbst der Stau auf der A2 ist mit dir blitzschnell vorbei. Und die Plörre von der Tanke schmeckt wie Kaffee auf Hawaii. Yeah. Auch wenn ich schweig, du weißt Bescheid. Ich brauch gar nichts sagen, ein Blick reicht. Und wird uns der Alltag hier zu grau. Pack ich dich ein, wir sind dann mal raus. Hallo Lieblingsmensch, ein Riesenkompliment dafür, dass du mich so gut kennst. Bei dir kann ich sein, verträumt und verrückt sein. Na, 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 na. Danke Lieblingsmensch, schön, dass wir uns kennen. Hallo Lieblingsmensch, ein Riesenkompliment dafür, dass du mich so gut kennst. Bei dir kann ich sein, verträumt und verrückt. Erfahren, aber dir vertraue ich's an, weil du sicher aufbewahrst. Meine Area 51. Manchmal drehen wir uns im Kreis. Aus einer Kleinigkeit wird Streit, aber mehr als 5 Minuten kann ich dir nicht böse sein. Yeah. Mach ich dir was vor, fällst dir sofort auf. Lass ich mich hängen, dann baust du mich auf. Manchmal wiegt der Alltag schwer. Sind wir zu zweit, scheint alles so leicht. Hallo Lieblingsmensch, ein Riesenkompliment dafür, dass du mich so gut kennst. Bei dir kann ich sein, verträumt und verrückt sein. Na, 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 na. Danke Lieblingsmensch, schön, dass wir uns kennen. Zeiten ändern sich und wir uns gleich mit. Du und ich, so jung auf diesem alten Polaroid-Bild. Das letzte Mal, als wir uns sahen, ist viel zu lang her. Doch jetzt lachen wir, als wenn
Okay, so getting back to art and really important timely projects, you starting, was it this year? Early this year, you started working with a photographer named Gideon Mendel. And so I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about the work that you're doing, or that you what you were doing with him, and the sort of project, because it's very timely. Gideon Mendel's work is a lot about fire and documenting the climate crisis, correct?
Yes. So Gideon Mendel is a globally recognized photographer who has been traveling around the globe for decades, documenting different social crises, but most recently climate crises. And in the last handful of years, he was documenting families affected by extreme floods around the world, which was called his Drowning World series, which was families standing in like waist deep water, basically in their homes in waist deep water. And then in the last 2 or 3 years, he started a Burning World series, which was families affected by wildfires. And so back in January, I was put in contact with him because he was looking for someone in Colorado to assist him on documenting the Marshall Fire that happened in Louisville.
Yeah, at the end of 2021.
Yeah, December 30th. So basically the new year. I live about 2 miles from Louisville and was on the edge of the pre-evacuation zones when that fire happened. So it hit really close to home. So I really wanted to be a part of this project and help connect with the community. And there was sort of a hope that we could help people heal by telling their story and what they went through.
Yeah. There's so much research out there about how that's such an important part of processing the traumatic events that happened to us.
Definitely. And we got some mixed reactions at first, but after a couple of months, he came in the middle of March, and we ended up connecting with 22 families in 12 days who all lost everything.
So can you just like take us, a scene like from when you were there shooting, where you would meet up with the family at their old address, and then what would happen?
Yeah, so we'd meet up with them. Sometimes it was our first time meeting in person, and we'd meet up with them at their property, and we'd have some introductions, and then Gideon would take them with a video camera around their property and almost do kind of like a home tour, letting the families kind of talk about what had been. That resulted in a lot of stories about like, yeah, this is our living room where we would have been watching movies together as a family, and almost like a strange version of Cribs in a way. So after that, Gideon would go and try and find a good place, because he places the families inside the ruins of their home to take the portrait. And so he would go and try to find a safe spot for them to be that was visually captivating and kind of showed the destruction of the fire. And while they were doing that, I would talk to them and recorded interviews with them to get to know them, get to know their stories, get to know their opinions on climate change and what they want to do moving forward.
Right. So you're doing this via audio?
Yeah.
Okay.
And after that was done, we'd both go and find, or we'd all go and find Gideon, and we would take their photos and would kind of talk them through it. And afterwards, we'd talk for a little bit more, and then we'd eventually part ways, but still stay in contact as the project continues to work forward. It was just like an incredible experience to connect with all of these families and listen to their experiences, and to be someone that they could lean on and open up to. We had families that we were literally a shoulder to cry on to try and support them. And we got amazing portraits that many of the families actually asked for hard copies of to put into photo albums to kind of signal their new start forward. We ended up getting what I thought was really heartwarming feedback that, I'm going to start that sentence over. We ended up getting some really, what I thought was heartwarming feedback about the project and taking these portraits, that some of the families felt it gave them closure. It was an opportunity for them to come back with their families, sometimes for the first time, to really reflect and talk about what had happened and how they want to move forward together as families. And for some of them, it was really healing. And so I'm really glad to have been able to meet everyone. I wish it had been in a different circumstance, but it was still really powerful, and I'm glad that we were able to help in some way.
And I think it's such a crucial project because, you know, these news cycles that we're accustomed to just wipe, you know, go past things so quickly, you know, in the blink of an eye. And yet there are communities that are still reeling for months and years in the future. Thanks for sharing about the project.
And sorry, one last thing I didn't write down. But we're going to stay in touch with these families. And I think that's something they can look forward to, is they have someone kind of going through this journey with them. So just in the past couple of weeks, we've had families like updating us on like their property getting cleaned up and that they've met with builders and things are starting to like look up. And hopefully in a year, Gideon's thinking of coming back to meet with them all again to see what's happened.
Into your eyes, never understanding why you would never run with me while the world is turning upside down and all around, and we are watching those birds in the sky from the mountainside, and you, oh, oh, oh.
You're listening to Outsources on KGNU, a weekly program with content created by and for queer communities in Colorado. If you're just tuning in, I'm your host, Kelly Drumright, and today I'm speaking with filmmaker Taylor Newman, and we are discussing her filmography, her amazing audio work, and in this part of the conversation, we're discussing her work with photographer Gideon Mendel, specifically his works, The Drowning World and The Burning World series, which document the devastating effects of ecocide and climate change on families all over the world.
I think I've seen some of the Drowning World series and maybe some of the Burning World series, which is what this project is a part of, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then what I was found really fascinating about Gideon's work is that he juxtaposes portraits from two vastly different places on the globe, and or that's one of the ways that it's presented, right? So it'll be a family in Australia and then a family in Napa Valley, California, and just like really signaling the interconnected nature of this struggle that we're all facing.
Definitely. And it is him trying to make a point that like this is a global issue. It's not just a one and done thing.
This is kind of an off the cuff question. So take it however you want. Have you had, I don't know, a little time to reflect on whether or not this project has impacted how your work is going to be going forward, or how you approach filmmaking and art making?
I think it's helped on more of an abstract way. It's kind of helped me learn how to better communicate with people, because that is such a heavy emotional space to tread into. And it's not, I've never, before the project, I had never dealt with a topic so heavy and overwhelming. So in that sense, it's given me a new ideas on how to communicate with people and to make people comfortable and to really connect with individuals. And then just in my personal life since then, I feel like I've become a lot more conscious about how I interact with the environment. So I've been trying my best to like cut down on plastics and recycle more, and just trying to be more conscious of my own effects on the world around me, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know that, you know, that we're inhabiting this like hard, like between a rock and a hard place, like individual actions only matter so much. And yet it's super important to do what we can within, you know, our sphere of influence. Right. Okay, so let's shift gears a little bit more. Thank you so much for holding space for that. What projects are on the horizon for you? Is there anything like super juicy or exciting that you're working on that you want to share?
I'm actually really glad you asked. I'm in the very early stages of creating a documentary that's currently called Hysterics. And it focuses on my personal experiences with medical gaslighting and on women's health in general. I just really want to bring awareness to that topic. And I am just wrapping up the pitch deck.
Can you, for us noobs out there, can you tell us what a pitch deck is?
Yes. So pitch deck, and I could be wrong. I feel like I'm winging it sometimes. So my pitch deck is a PowerPoint presentation that kind of goes over who I am, what the story is, like my background, why my background's relevant to making this documentary, and then what the documentary is going to be about and how I hope to go about creating it.
Just the, like, even the tentative title is Hysterics is just so, like, I'm using this on purpose, pregnant with meaning. You know?
Definitely. The title came to me really quickly because, like, every time, it's very common that, like, if you go to a doctor and you're being emotional, they'll blame your period and tell you you're just being hysteric. And hysteric, the root word is actually from, I believe it was Latin for uterus. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
such an important topic right now. Especially the whole, are you coming it from like a reproductive rights or justice sort of space, or kind of like from an experiential space?
From experiential. So my experience with medical gaslighting was not on the reproductive end of things. So I'm looking more on it as a woman's health issue in general, of women's symptoms being ignored, regardless of what those symptoms point towards. So there's going to be a mix of conversation when I talk to medical professionals about maybe the reproductive side. But overall, it's just a picture of women's health within the medical industry.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a super rich exploration of, like, you know, how certain gendered bodies experience the medical institution. Like, I can definitely, I'm interested as a sick/disabled person myself. I'm excited to see where this project goes.
Yeah, it's gonna be an adventure to say the least, but I'm really hoping to get production started up hopefully later this summer on it.
I'm interested in media, so I like to ask this question. What are you reading, watching, and listening lately? And I can start us off so you don't have to like go, like, I'm not just cold calling you. So I am reading and watching Heartstopper by Alice Osman. Amazing. Netflix just made an adaptation. It's all of the young YA queer heartthrobiness that you want in your life. It's just so tender. I am reading Neon Yang's Tenseret series, which is like described as silk punk. It's sci-fi and it's amazing. And I'm listening to Muna and Rina Sawayama for all of the chaotic bisexual energy that this here Gemini is bringing into all of the situations that they encounter. What about you, Taylor?
That's a pretty good list. I'll admit my watch and reading lists are chaotic because I will definitely start things, get distracted partway through, put them down, forget about them for 8 months before coming back.
Only same. I feel so seen.
So currently I'm in the middle of Jurassic Park and Harry Potter, The Order of the Phoenix. I'm reading them both for the first time. And then I'm also in the middle of this really cute book I picked up in New Orleans called Evangeline and the Bayou. And then for TV, I've just been watching Peaky Blinders with my dad between the NHL playoffs.
All right. Are you excited for that final season?
I don't know yet. We're almost done season two.
Oh, okay. So you have plenty of adventure to go.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on Outsources, Taylor. Where can people go to check out your film reel or learn more about your work or maybe even contact you or hire you for film and audio production?
Thanks again for having me. Anyone who might be interested in checking me out can find me on Instagram at Neumann Pictures, which is NEUMANN Pictures. And then my website is neumannpictures.com. And my website has my reel, some like behind the scenes photos, and a couple other things spread out on it.